הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello everybody, welcome to the show, and again my Hebrew song at the beginning means we bring you peace. And I'm so honored today to have Christine McGuire on the show. She's a gifted speaker and writer, had been featured on Positively Feminine, Faithful Devotions, and Praise and Coffee magazines. And her main topic is escaping the cauldron. I'm going to have her tell us what that means, because she had been a witch for so many years before she either found or returned to Jesus. So we all need to hear it, because Satan is alive and well on planet Earth, and we need to know his wiles. Christine, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Judge Eve. I'm just thrilled to be able to talk to you today. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. You know what I'd like to do first, because terms always need to be defined. What is cauldron? We've heard it. Let me just spell it, C-A-U-L-D-R-O-N. Can you please tell us what that means?
Certainly. Well, a cauldron is, in its basic form, it's just an iron pot that is, or a kettle that is used for cooking. It comes in all sizes, from tiny little to huge. But in witchcraft, and particularly in Wicca, it is a sign of the goddess. It is a symbol of rebirth, if you will.
Really?
And yes, and it is meant to symbolize the womb of the goddess.
And see what you're saying. I know exactly. I know how Satan works. Like I say, I've studied the New Age before I found Jesus in my life. I went to every psychic under the sun, and it always bothered me, you know, unless you volunteered information, I really didn't know what to tell you. So let me ask you this. Were you raised, you were in, where, North Carolina or in Illinois?
No, in Michigan, actually. I was raised in Michigan.
Oh, really? Okay, because I thought you were raised in the South, where, you know, believing in Jesus is much more prevalent.
Oh. Yep, no, I was raised in Michigan. I was born into a Christian family. I was raised in the church. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was 6
really?
At Vacation Bible School. Yes, absolutely.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So what got you to be a witch? How long did it take? Or maybe to say, how many years after you accepted Jesus did you start looking into the witchcraft side of things?
Well, from the time I was a little girl, I was sensitive to the spiritual world. I just didn't understand what it was, and I had some experiences, both angelic and demonic, as I was growing older. But also, my friends and I, we were really interested in ghosts and witches and psychics and fortune tellers, and so we played these psychic games all through my childhood. We, you know,
really?
Pretended to be psychics, yes, and I would pretend to be reading a friend's palm, there was this game, and it was called Light as a Feather, Stiff as a Board, and it was a levitation game, and
I saw it on a movie, you know, I think it was called Charmed or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
No, The Craft.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie The Craft, I just saw it again last week. Yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
So we would play those games at slumber parties or things like that. And, of course, as I grew older, I read my horoscope, which I did not realize astrology was part of divination or anything like that. I had no idea that what I was doing was wrong, because nobody told me, and we didn't talk about those things in the church. It wasn't until I was 16 and started reading the Bible for myself that I understood that these were things that I was not supposed to have any part of. So I stopped doing those things, but that interest remained. And I continued to have these interests.
Yes,
that pull. And, of course, I continued to have these experiences as I grew into adulthood, as I went into college, I got married, I had children. And so it wasn't until 1995 when my husband and I were in Atlanta, Georgia. He'd been transferred there for work.
Yes.
And I I had no contact really with my family. They were all back here in Michigan. I knew no one. Yeah. And we just were not really connecting with anybody at the churches we were visiting or, you know, attending.
Was your husband a Christian at the time?
Yes. Oh, he was a Christian as well. We met actually at a Christian college.
Wow.
And so at that time, I really started to question my faith. I would pray, and I got very legalistic. I began to believe that I had to be this perfect Christian in order to gain God's favor. You know?
And I understand, believe me.
Yeah. So
it's the same with Judaism, Catholicism, right? Anything that demands man-made laws, you know, creates a problem.
Exactly. And mm-hmm. a lot of the churches we went to supported that idea, idea that you had to pray a certain amount of day, you know, of time during the day, or you had to read a certain amount of the Bible during the day, and that if things weren't, if you were not happy and blessed all of the time, that you somehow lacked enough faith.
Very legalistic, you know, in other words, putting you in guilt rather than the love of God.
Exactly.
You know, if I may interject, excuse me, knowing God the way I do, I call him the Master Setup. He, by the way, you're a prophet, and I'll explain that a little later. You know, he allows us to go through certain experiences because then he uses what we learned to help other people avoid those problems. So, you know, you were set up from a child, right, to do what you ended up doing. You know, people think we have free choice and free will. You know, the only free will we have is to choose either to follow God or follow Satan. That's the only choice.
True.
Because once you follow God, to me, I have no life of my own. God, what do you want? Everything is what do you want, you know? But go ahead. So at what age, so you were you still engaging in that? Occult stuff when you moved to Atlanta? Or
no, actually. Yeah, I had stopped. I was trying to, you know, from the time I was 16 until 1995, I tried to be very, very faithful to the Lord. And I volunteered at church. I sang in the church choir and in the praise teams. And, but I just felt as if I was hitting a wall. And that I felt as if God was judging me, and I just had no contact with him. It was as if I was just hanging out there on my own, and I didn't understand. Yeah. And I thought, well, maybe I've just been wrong all these years. Maybe Christianity is just wrong for me, and I need to find something else.
Connection, right?
Yeah,
felt like
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I felt something was missing. And so I started going to the library. My husband would be gone 5 days or six out of the week traveling and for his work. So I would take my daughters, who were both under the age of five at the time, and we would go to the library. Mm-hmm. And while the librarians were entertaining them with stories and cookies and children's hour, I would go.
Satan's way, right? Again.
Yes. Exactly.
Yes.
And believe it or not, every time, it didn't matter what day of the week, what time I was there, it was always children's hour any time I walked into that library.
You know what that means? Isn't that interesting? You know, because these things, Jesus said to come to him like little children, but Satan, who is the challenging counterfeit, it's a book that showed me the error of my ways after I accepted Jesus. Satan uses whatever God has and counterfeits it. You know, like rainbow, you know, people think it's a new age symbol, but it was God showing that he would not flood the earth again. So here, Satan was drawing you in through your child. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yes, no. And so I would go into the religion section, and I started looking through philosophy and different world religions, and nothing really seemed to fit. And then I ran across a book about a religion I had never heard of before.
Yes.
It was called Wicca.
Yes.
And it talked all about magic and goddess worship and all these things. And I thought, it just brought me back to my childhood interest in the occult. Because even as an adult, even when I tried not to have anything to do with that stuff, I was just pulled toward it. So I would read horror novels or watch scary movies to kind of try to feed that interest. Without doing the things I used to do.
Yes.
And so I took the book home and I read it and I tried some of the exercises. And Judge Eve, I'm telling you, the moment I did the very first exercise, it was this if I was embraced by this warm, welcoming power.
Wow.
Yes, this feminine mother bigger power just embraced me.
And it had been so long
since I connected with God. I thought, aha, I found it. This is it. You know?
And then, of course,
my husband came home, and I told him what I had been doing, and he, of course, got a little upset and freaked out a little bit. And so I took the book back, and I told him, okay, I won't be a Wiccan. I won't have anything to do with this. Yeah. So for the next 4 years, I tried in my own power to be a good Christian.
I know what you said, in your own power, which never works, does it?
No, it never does.
So
in 1999, our life was falling apart. We were arguing. We were both depressed. We had had to move again, and everything was falling apart.
Forgive me for interjecting, but this is exactly what Satan does, right? He's here to kill, steal, and destroy. He puts his foot in the door to someone's life. It sounds wonderful, and then he proceeds to create problems. And
exactly.
May I also say, you know, the depression, you know, when I read one time that Satan and his demons feed on our negative emotional reactions, I had determined from then on not to give him that pleasure. Not that I don't succeed, but you see, bringing depression would be a demonic influence. Go ahead, please. Yes.
I'm sorry. And so in 1999, with all this depression and anger, my husband was starting to go through his own questions and his own trouble with Christianity and thinking, well, maybe I just won't believe in anything at all, or maybe I'll just call myself an agnostic and just forget religion. And so he was struggling with that. So I saw my opportunity, because I was angry at God. I was angry at the church. I was working as a Christian preschool teacher. I mean, I was working for a church as a teacher in their Christian daycare. And I said, this is it. I'm going to go explore goddess worship. So I started getting books from the library and hiding them under my bed. everything was hidden, you know.
What I had to do with the Christian books I got because of being Jewish. Isn't that funny?
Exactly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Exactly. And so I started, you know, searching on the internet, and I joined Wiccan and pagan message boards and started talking to people and asking questions and, you know, within a few months, I had decided this is what I want to do. And so just after, it was probably January 2000, just after the new year, I dedicated myself to the goddess.
Wow. What ceremony did it take? Did you actually have to do, like, what we accept Jesus? Did you have to say, I accept you in my life? Or
dedicate? I was a solitary practitioner, so I didn't ever work with a coven. So I took... because I bought several books and things like that, and I kind of took suggestions on how to do this from the books, because in Wicca there is this this idea or this suggestion that you study for a year and a day before you actually become Wiccan.
Can you explain to the people what is Wicca? Oh, by the way, let me give call-in numbers in case anybody wants to call in. People may have call-ins either at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008 or 530-327-7602. That's 530-327-7602. Sorry, Christine, go ahead. What is Wicca?
Wicca is... it's a fairly modern religion. It started in the late 1930s, 40s, and got popular in the 50s and 60s
in
Great Britain.
Or in Europe?
In Great Britain, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Okay.
It was started by Gerald Gardner and in Great Britain, and it came to the United States probably in the 70s and the 80s, possibly the 60s, but it's a nature-based earth religion that is based on fertility goddess worship.
Yeah.
You know, they revere a goddess and a god. There's this idea of duality in nature.
Why do they believe in fertility goddess? You know, like they have the statues, you know, with all the eggs on her. I forget which one it is. Ashtar, maybe. Why do they, just the procreation side of life? Is that why they go so much into sexual activities?
I think, again, I was not involved in the coven, so there's a lot of Wiccan or coven tradition that I don't really know or understand. I stuck more with solitary practice. The goddess you referred to is Artemis, and she was
Artemis.
She was a Greek goddess. She was called the Many. She was Greek, and she was called the Many-breasted One. It was that basically she provided for her worshippers, for the people that revered her. So she was Mother Goddess. Mm-hmm. And basically it's that, the earth is mother, there's duality in nature of male and female. So that's why there is a goddess and a god, although there are some traditions within Wicca that are monotheistic, which basically worship a goddess alone. And then there's also, there's probably some traditions that really don't worship a god or a goddess at all, but it's mostly goddess worship.
And they really, the way I understand it, and I'm sure you'll be commenting on it, what they're actually doing is activating demons, which are even statues, like totems. People think they're just praying to wood, and it's been around forever, right? This was all around and being practiced by ancient civilizations.
And that's what Wicca essentially attempts to do, is kind of to reactivate or reimagine those ancient pagan practices. That idea. And of course, we don't know what those ancient pagan practices actually were, so they reimagine it. But Wicca is a very much a light and love and, very a positive kind of thing,
I'm a huge reader. I used to have like 5,000 books, and one of them was by a head of the New Age group. He was the head of it, and they're not a pastor, whatever the title is. And he said he used to pray to this thing on the stage they had, because it was a being of light. And he said one day the light disappeared, and he saw this ugly, ugly, horrible being sitting on that stage or whatever it was. And he said immediately that made him turn to Jesus.
And praise God for that.
Yes. You see, I'm a seer, and again and again I hear New Agers say, oh, we saw a ball of light, so we knew it's an angel. I said, you have to test the spirits, in the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. Otherwise, they all come as an angel of light, So go, and that's all they talk about, love and light. And then you hear how they operate. They don't have love and light in them.
Well, and the thing is that, Wiccans, they don't believe in Satan. They don't. They believe that's just a Christian construct that's,
really?
Got nothing to do with them. And so, so their gods and their goddesses are wonderful. Yeah. And they do have, there are dark gods and goddesses, but this is a balance between light and shadow of a mentality. But what what is hard to get across to someone who is in paganism or neo-paganism, as it's called, is that these, we have a choice between God or not God. And then what's not God is the demonic. Satan
That's
is
it.
In charge of that, but it is the demonic. And someone asked me once, well, what were all these gods and goddesses of ancient Greece and Rome and Egypt and all these things? I said, they were demons that wanted to be worshipped.
That's what they thrive on. They thrive.
Yes.
Remember when Satan told Jesus when he was on the 40-day fast, bow down to me and I'll give you all the riches of the earth?
Exactly.
Because Satan wants to be better than the Most High God. And another thing that I hear New Agers say, Lucifer is one entity, Satan is another, and the devil is the third. I said, no way, no how.
All the same being.
Exactly.
All the
so go
same,
ahead,
yeah.
And in a minute I'll be calling for a break. So go ahead, please.
Sure.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's what I got involved in. For 3 years, I was a goddess worshiper. I didn't necessarily call myself a Wiccan, because I never felt quite completely connected with that religion. But I was a goddess worshiper. I believed in the divine feminine. And I think, honestly, I think I was so into the goddess pretty exclusively because I had known God all of my life, so I wanted to learn about the goddess.
Right.
But throughout all of that, this is what is so amazing about God. From the moment I started dabbling and then actively doing these things and being part of this and rejecting God, he pursued me from the very beginning.
Let me stop you because we need to go to a commercial break, and we'll be back in just a minute, and we'll have to hear what Christine has to say.
Hello, this is Judge Eve Ellingwood, known also as Cohen Sternlight. I'm so glad to be on bbsradio.com every other Saturday, like this Saturday, June 2nd. I have a website, www.90210holocaust.com. That's HOLOCAUST.com. The story of my parents' murder in Beverly Hills by my brother and sister and the theft of their millions. I've written a couple of books, but one of them is available on the website as an ebook, Diary of Sovereign Faith in Action. Also, I am a prophet, I am a seer, and I am a healer, and if people are interested, I can set up appointments to help people for a fee, and it will depend on what's involved and what has to be done. And to reach me, you can reach me by my email, eejudgeeve79@gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J, U, D like David, G like George, E like elephant, V for victory, E like elephant, 79@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing what else you would like to hear on the show and what help you might need. Also, legally, especially for people who are unemployed, I can help. I cannot give specific advice, but I can help. Maybe also political issues and other legal issues and spiritual issues. Thank you. Look forward to hearing from you.
Hello again. I have Christine McGuire with us on the line today, and her book is Escaping the Cauldron. It's coming out on September 4th, published by Charisma House. But you can pre-order it on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. And Christine's website is Christine McGuire, that's KristineMcGuire.com. And she has something called Christine Remixed, and I love it. It sounds like you were mixed all around back and forth between Jesus and Satan.
Yep. That's
so
exactly
ahead,
right.
So
yeah,
go ahead, Christine.
What I was saying was that throughout that whole time, even though I was literally bowing down to idols, I did have images of the goddess, and I meditated daily.
Did you have communed with
the goddess?
Did you have a picture, or did you have a statue, or did you just see her in your mind, or how did you worship?
All of it.
And you actually bowed down to it?
Yes, absolutely. I had images that I purchased these statues that of various goddesses. I had one of Gaia, the Earth goddess, and one of Artemis, who was one of my patron goddesses. And I had this little fertility goddess that I had in my car. I mean, absolutely. That was very much a part of my thought process. Everything was, about connecting to the goddess.
May I tell you what I see on you and your back? I still see those lines of connection. I'll tell you exactly. You're bending over. So from your right side to the left, there are like five beams. They're not black. They're grayish. And if I may have your permission, I'd like to cut them off of you. In other words, they're hoping to get you back. May I?
Oh, absolutely.
Please do pray. Yeah. Well, like I said, I am a seer, and God really does show me Satan and his minions and what they do. So when I see something, and if it persists, I have to speak it out. So in Jesus' name, Lord, we're humbled before you. We thank you and praise you. You said whenever two or three of us shall agree of touching anything, it shall be done for us. I lift up Christine to you, your faithful servant. Holy Spirit, first of all, you cover her with the balm of Gilead light, and we cover you and cleanse you, Christine, with the blood of Jesus from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And in Jesus' name, starting on your right side, you're bending over, so it's on your middle back. We cut away that one beam, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth. We command them to wither and be gone into the sea. Oh, in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, fill in those spaces with your healing light and balm of Gilead. You should be feeling tingling like going in a line through the middle of your back. And protect her, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We say, I'm going to cry.
Oh,
thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Christine.
No,
I have to
no.
do what I have to do because I know it's necessary, you know?
No, I thank you.
Yes.
I thank you. That is the one thing that that all people who come out of the occult that I have discovered, not only just myself, but other ex-witches and Wiccans and occultists, there's this strong temptation to go back.
And
it can be very... Yes, and it can be very overwhelming, and it's very hard because so many Christians and so many people in the church don't understand or don't want to talk about it. They don't want to address these issues, and so we're left dangling with between, you know, with this struggle, and there's no one to disciple. And that's one of the things that I talk about in my book is the need for discipleship and to walk alongside one another as Christians, as brothers and sisters. We are called to walk beside each other and to encourage and support and pray with and help each other through these struggles.
You know, you feel lighter, don't you? Because I can hear it in your voice. Did you feel
absolutely.
Like something? Thank you, Jesus.
Absolutely. And you know, it's so awesome how God does these things because I'm getting ready to go teach a seminar based on my book next week at Cornerstone Music Festival.
Yes.
And, you know, and I've been a little concerned because it's the first time I'm going to be teaching a seminar. And so, you know, I've been under a lot of attack, my husband and I both, for the last 2 weeks. So thank you.
Oh.
This is just an answer to prayer.
Thank
it really
you, Lord.
Is.
And let's remove, he's more in fear. So we, you know, Jesus
Absolutely.
Kept saying, fear not, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. And your husband's name is Tom?
Tom, yeah.
Okay, I remember. Okay. We lift him up to you, Lord. We rebuke the fear off of him in Jesus' name and envelop him as well with the firepower of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus and the same. It's like doing an infinity sign between the two of you, you know, the blood of Jesus, so you're connected perfectly. In Jesus' name, and tell me the date and approximate time when you will speak, and I'll pray for you so there'll be an anointing like you've never
Thank
seen
you.
In your life.
Yes,
in
I will
Jesus
be speaking
name.
On Monday.
This coming Monday?
It'll be, let's see, no, I take that back. It'll be Tuesday, and then is when I'll be sharing my testimony, and then I will be teaching the Wednesday through Saturday.
And you notice it's Independence Day. You're going to free people out of a bondage.
In Jesus' name, yes.
In Jesus' name, and I'll pray for you.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. You know,
I
says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. What is it? Isaiah 11:55, I think. You know, so I say to him, okay, show me your ways. Show me your thoughts.
That's right.
Because, you know, I've ministered all over the country myself for over 20 years, and he said, me people come up in line, and he would just open them up like an open book. And always I'd say, what do you want me to do? You know, what do you want me to talk about? And what came to me one time, you know, how the little ants on the ground, they think they know everything about the world, but we are so much higher above them, right? 5 feet, 6 feet, whatever. So we can see so much further what their end is from their beginning. So I say that's how God is. He sees our end from the beginning. I'd rather see what he sees. That's what I see, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so go ahead. I'm sorry to keep interrupting you, but I'm led to do it, so forgive me.
No, that's fine. So, yeah, so throughout this whole time of goddess worship and witchcraft, and I was developing my psychic powers, quote-unquote, and abilities and things, which really what I've come to believe is that psychic abilities are whatever God's good gifts are, you know, like if a person is spiritually sensitive and might have a gift of discernment or something, Satan just twists that
and
counterfeits
it.
And counterfeits it.
And he gives you his images.
Exactly.
people forget how in the Pharaoh's court, you know, when Moses had those miracles, you know, the plague take place, the magicians in the court did the same thing because they went to satanic power, you know?
Yeah.
So go ahead. But did you see results? I mean, what kept you
absolutely.
It anyway? Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Even though I started kind of waffling back and forth. I would give up. I give up witchcraft and goddess worship, and eventually I did give up goddess worship. But then I continued doing witchcraft and calling it Christian witchcraft, which I can explain later. But I did all those things, and
when
I cast
spells. When you say witchcraft,
spells.
did you cast spells, or what did you do?
Absolutely. I cast spells. I practiced full moon rituals and honored the seasons and things like that. And so, yeah, absolutely. I was very much involved in, folk magic and candle magic and various forms of witchcraft. I collected voodoo dolls. It was very much a part of my life. It became my identity. It was almost a mantra of, you know, once a witch, always a witch. So that even when I was trying to be a Christian again, I would just be pulled right back in within a few months.
It shows you, here you were a Christian and how Satan was able to deceive you.
Mm-hmm,
and how the Bible
says
that in the end times, even the elect will be deceived.
Absolutely.
What you're doing is so important. God has shown me that Satan was engaging in subtle deception about 18 years ago, you know, and this is what's happening. And he comes he comes as an angel of light. Oh, let me show you. I'll give you everything you want. But do we really want it? And what is the price to pay when you get it his way? Right?
Exactly. Because by the time I was involved in all this for 8 years.
Wow.
And my husband and I were separated for about five of those 8 years.
Oh.
I left him at the leading of the goddess in 2001.
Did you leave him? Oy, oy, oy.
And well, but later, you know, he got himself back together with God as far as, you know, he got his faith straightened out. And so he wanted to restore our marriage. And so I had just gone through another one of my, well, I'll try to be a Christian again kind of moments. And
back and forth and back and forth, right?
I was just going back and forth and back and forth. But finally, by the time we got to 2006, when my husband and I reunited, and we were just, this
You're
is it, I
cried. Oh, we have a caller. Why don't we go ahead and get the caller? Hello, who is there, please?
Hi, this is Paul DeJuan from Heavens and Friends Christianity and Group.
Wonderful.
I have a question for Christine.
Go ahead, please.
Okay, my question is, how do you regard yourself with the other members that are in the Christianity where they're teaching people about the occult, when there have been people like Mike Huckabee and others who have brought down ministries and such? I mean, do you think that in modern times we should regard these people as teachers with respected authorities to help other ministries and maybe bring the word to a whole different generation of people?
I'm not quite sure I understand your question, but
may I say,
basically,
to say, why are these occult teachers allowed in the church? Is that in effect what you're saying?
Well, in other words, like you look at Mike Huckabee's ministry and how people regard it as a great ministry at one time, but then when the truth came out and his time ministry became a joke, it broke a lot of people's faith to believe.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
In recent years, you know, you got like Jeff Weisberger, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, and others like yourself who are coming out and saying, you know, I've been a witness. I've been, you know, I have the experience, you know, and what's been going on the occult and stuff. You know, I am, you know, God has called me to become a teacher.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do think that, you know, there has been a problem of some integrity, obviously, in the past of people who over-sensationalized or, made too much of a thing about the occult or about, you know, what's happened, or they've become, you know, they've put too much emphasis on what Satan is doing as opposed to what God is doing. But I do think, especially in this time, where we have such a saturation in our culture of the occult. I mean, we have supernatural, paranormal, mediums, ghost hunters. I mean, witchcraft. It's all in our media and in our books and in our movies. You know, and it's seeping into the church. And because a lot of people, a lot of Christians do not know what the Bible says about these things. And it's not being taught in many churches. So I do think it's an important ministry. But I also think, you know, we have to uphold a standard of integrity. And one of the things that I, you know, when I was writing my book and when I write my blog is I try very hard to just to tell things the way they happen. You know, I don't sensationalize everything. It just I tell it as it is and what happened, and there are people in my life who can say yes or no, it did not happen. You know. So there's a checks and balances, if you will.
Thank you so much.
Going back to what you're saying about the witchcraft in the 1970s, you know, Wicca and pagans has been around for, like, ages and ages. It's just, like, you know, every period or so, it tends to reinvent itself to fit the modern time.
Mm-hmm.
And then when
mm-hmm.
we look at the 1960s with the counterculture,
yep.
when they brought in, like, the astrology and the occult and all those other things, it's when we really began to see it in our society. That's where it kind of, like, went down, you know, downhill from there.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly right.
And then you got Peter, like you know, people like Peter Warkoff or Wenger, who was very respected in spiritual warfare, but then it just blew up, and you know, and his ministry went down. And you know, what you're saying is absolutely right. I mean, we should be, you know, teaching people the truth, but you know. And unfortunately, until people have really experienced God from those who are involved in the occult, it's really mm-hmm. sad that they won't see Jesus, you know?
Because 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the God of this world has so blinded their minds and their heart, so the light of the gospel cannot shine into it. This is why part of our prayer for anybody to be saved always is remove that blindness, God,
yeah.
from their minds
Absolutely.
And their heart. So thank you so much for your call and for your input. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And you have
well,
a blessed yeah. day. Go ahead, Christine. I'm sorry. It's hard to
yeah,
know.
Yeah, no, he brought up a very good point.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. and it is important, I think, but not just for, you know, people who are sharing their testimonies such as I am about the occult or trying to educate Christians about
yes.
the occult, but
yes.
Just Christians in general, we need to, you know, make sure we are all living lives of integrity so that we are witnesses of the gospel.
and we cannot be ignorant of the wiles of the enemy who is like
exactly.
a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And
Absolutely.
He's only here to kill, steal, and destroy. See, I'm a spiritual warrior. I hate it, you
mm-hmm.
know, because I lived in war, you know, in Jerusalem, but, you know, God has made me do that, so... And I had military training at the age of 12 in Israel as well. So I'm saying, God, but we want peace, right? Don't we want to say love and peace and light? Isn't that what the New Age tells you
mm-hmm.
to do?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So go ahead, Christine. I want to hear the rest of your story because we have to go on a break again in a couple
right,
of minutes.
Right.
And I need for you to share what happened. Yeah. Go
well,
ahead, please.
In 2006, my husband and I got back together, and by that time, I was a Christian, which, quote-unquote, which means I had melded belief in Jesus. It was my own version of Jesus. It wasn't a true Christian faith, but I kind of created my own trinity of Father, Mother, Holy, you know, and Holy Son.
You created it in your image, right?
Yes, exactly. I created my belief in my image
yes.
and called it Christianity while
wow.
I was practicing witchcraft, and I was a medium,
yes.
and I was a ghost hunter, and I told
wow.
my husband, you know, if you want to get back
yes.
together with me, you're just going to have to accept this.
Ooh,
and he said,
what did
yes.
you say?
He said,
wow.
I love you. God wants us to be back together. And then unbeknownst to me, he spent the next year praying that God would remove the blinders from my eyes and show me what I was involved in.
Oh, wow.
And God did.
Wow.
He did in 2007.
Was there a particular incident that led you start seeing the light again?
Yes, yes. In 2007, I was on a ghost hunt with my team, and for the first time in 8 years, I was prompted during that investigation to command a demon to leave in the name of Jesus. And you have to understand, by that time, I didn't even believe in demons anymore in the biblical sense.
Right.
I believe there could be negative spirits, you know, but I recognized this being as a demon, and I felt really silly, I'll be honest with you. I felt really silly because as a Christian witch, I used ritual and spells to cast out demons, you know, and things like that. And, you know, I'd like use sage or things and things like that to clear a space. And so I did it. I said, in the name of Jesus, you're uninvited. You have to leave. And a few days later...
May I stop you so we'll come back after the break because we do need to go on a break again.
Hello, this is Judge Eve Ellingwood, also known as Cohen and Sternlight. I'm a retired judge. I'm so happy to have a show on bbsradio.com, Station 1, on alternate Saturdays. My website is www.90210holocaust.com. That's HOLOCAUST.com. The story of my parents' murders in Beverly Hills by my brother and sister, and the theft of their millions but with the help of corrupt doctors, lawyers, and judges, and taking place on a huge scale in our country. Also, I am a prophet, a seer, a healer, a seeing to the body, the past, the future, and would be able to help with counseling. To contact me for that would be at my email, eejudgeeve79@gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J-U, D like David, G for George, E for elephant, E for elephant, V for victory, E for elephant, 79@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.
Hello again, and again, I'm so blessed to have Christine McGuire on the show. Her book, Escaping the Cauldron, is available on pre-order from barnesandnoble.com or Amazon. It's being published by Charisma House, will be out in all bookstores on September 4th. And she is one who had been a witch and came back to Jesus, and she was just telling us how she came back to Jesus in 2007. Go ahead, please, Christine.
Yeah. So I told this spirit it had to leave in Jesus' name, and my team looked at me like I'd lost my mind. And so I was like, okay, whatever. But nothing happened the rest of the investigation. We actually wrapped it up really quickly after that. And a few days later, I got an email from the leader of our team with just one big headline, you know, said, you've got to hear this. And it had a file attached to it, an audio file.
Yeah.
And so I put on my headphones and I played this little audio file. And it just happened to be me telling this demon it had to leave in Jesus' name.
Wow.
And there's this sound that can only be described as an angry, animalistic, demonic scream.
That responded to your order.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I listened to that, and my husband was actually out of town on a job. So I listened to it, and I was like, this is crazy. This is like straight out of the book of Acts or something when, you know, Paul commanded the demon to leave the girl who had a spirit of divination and was possessed. So I thought, this is really strange. And I listened to it again, and of course the Holy Spirit is going, what do you think about this, girlfriend?
Yeah.
And you know, but I wanted to think that maybe my team was joking around with me because they looked at me weird. There was a little bit of giggling when I said it. So I sent the file to my husband, who's a professional audio engineer, Yes. And he has all kinds of programs in his computer so he can check these things. So I said, check to see what if it's authentic. Does it have any editing on it? You know, did somebody put that weird sound in there?
Yeah.
What is it? Is because an EVP is what it was. It's an electronic voice phenomenon, which is it occurs in the white noise or the empty spaces, you know, of an audio recording.
Interesting.
And, so he, I didn't hear back from him for a couple of days, and when he finally called, and he didn't say anything. I was like, did you test the email, and you know, or test the audio file? And he said, yes, I did. It's said nothing's been done to it. It's whatever it is, it's not been edited. You know, it's not been edited in. It's just there in the recording. What have you been doing?
Does God have a way of getting our attention, or does he have a way of getting our attention? Wow.
He does. And so I listened to it again, and I went upstairs, and for the first time in probably 8 years or so, I pulled my Bible down from the shelf, the one Bible I had saved, and I read Matthew. I read a whole bunch of different verses. I read everything I could find on witchcraft and spirit communication and, you know, all these things. Everything God said we're not supposed to do that I had been doing for 8 years. And then I read Matthew 6, 20-23. And that Bible verse says, the eye is the lamp of the body. When the eye is good, the whole body is filled with light. But when the eye is bad, the whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep is that darkness?
Wow.
And that was Jesus speaking. That was from the Sermon on the Mount. And I literally, I burst into tears. I got down on my face, on my bedroom floor, and repented of everything I had done. I renounced all the spirits, because by that time, I had 5 spirit guides in my life that I was listening to.
Interesting, you see, and they're demons. You know that now, right?
And I rebuked them all, I renounced it all, and God is so good. He just showered me with love and forgiveness and protection. And what I didn't even realize at the time, because, you know, I was a medium, so I had a lot. By that time, I was experiencing daily, I was experiencing paranormal phenomenon, not just on a ghost hunt, but in my own home. I would see shadow people. My hair would be pulled. I would be pushed. I asked my spirit guides for help, and they basically ignored me, which led me to believe.
Exactly. You invited those things, you know, how can you say no, right?
Exactly, and it led me to believe, well, I'm a medium, this is just job hazard, you know, kind of thing. But when I rebuked and renounced and repented, when I repented of all this sin, God just put a stop to that, and he
just
rescued
like that,
me out. Just like that, it was done, and I was rescued from that darkness, and it was just as if a dark veil has been pulled from my head, and the Holy Spirit
says,
just...
Right?
Yeah.
Like he says, the God of this
absolutely
world darkens their mind and their hearts. Yeah, go
and
ahead.
And God just removed that darkness and filled me with his love and his presence, and I have been thanking him every day since then.
Isn't that
And that was...
If you really think about it, you know how our purpose, our mission is predetermined before we come, you know, whether we like it or not. God knew your end from the beginning. How could you be effective ministering to people about not following Satan and his minions, except that you've gone through it? You know, people don't believe you when you say, well, it's a bad thing, you shouldn't do it, and they ask you, well, have you gone through that? And you say, oh, no, I haven't. But you've gone through that. You've practiced it. So God bless you. Oh, Christine, that's amazing.
God is amazing. He's so good. And it's funny because people will say, oh, you have this amazing testimony. And it's like, honestly, it's not mine. It's his. It's all about him.
See, when our lives are given over to him, you know, everything that happens to us is him. You know, and I have to find that verse, but God uses evil for his purposes. And, you know, God doesn't wish evil. He doesn't want evil to come. But he, legally speaking, you know, being a retired judge and I've taught law, practiced law, you know, legally Satan now dominates the earth. So until Jesus comes back, it's Satan's law that is followed on the earth. And the only way we bring God in is by prayer. This is why prayer is so important. And I don't want to take the time away from you, but I had a Paul experience. I had a beam of light come upon me from the heavenlies. An unbelievable, unbelievable experience on Christmas Day 1989. But the one thing he said to me at that time was that Satan was unleashing his highest principalities and powers upon the earth the following January, which would be January 1990. And that's exactly what we're seeing. So Satan in his last days before Jesus, and I'm 71 years old, and a year ago sitting in a dentist's office, and there were four of us Christian ladies, and out of my mouth comes, Satan, Jesus is coming back in my lifetime. And I thought, where is this coming from, you know? So, I mean, we are at the threshold of Jesus coming back. We really are. Yeah. So Satan is fighting his hardest. That's why what you're doing, Christine, is amazing, amazing, amazing. And I'd like to say, I feel you're a prophet because, see, what I did, like I said, I investigated all the New Age. I'd become a lawyer. I wanted to be a lawyer. I was 3 years old. I had my children. I had my family. I had my own office. And I said to myself, now what? I was 32, 33. And that's when I started seeking spiritually. Same thing, you know, all the New Age stuff. And finally, when I accepted Jesus, about a year later, I came across this little book called The Challenging Counterfeit. Have you ever heard of it?
I have not.
I cannot remember the author's name. I have to look it up. And every gift that God gives to his believers, Satan counterfeits, even the laying on of hands. And I did exactly what you described. I went on my hands and knees with my face on the floor. And I said, God, forgive me, and I repent. Exactly what you said. So we know that we have to do that in order to really walk in God.
Absolutely.
When we walk in him, you know, he says, the pure of heart shall see God. We don't need any impurities in there. You know, God has shown me, uses me a lot in inner healing, and he'll show me from the beginning of conception, you know, what damage people have. It could be genetic, could be what people speak over them. And helps me to reveal it, you know, with his presence and to forgive it. So we're all damaged property, either genetically or things that have been done to us. And for the light of that shines within, which is God, to come out, we have to clear up this interference, you know, between us and the outer world. And that's how you're going to be used, Christine, in Jesus' name. And may I pray for you to anoint you as a prophet? Is it something that brings true to your heart?
Yes, yes, thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
Father God, and I know we have to get off in a few minutes, we humble ourselves before you. We thank you and praise you. Again, you said whenever two or three of us shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done for us. I lift up my sister Christine to you right now. You've blessed her, Lord, with gifts, and let those gifts not be used in ministry as a prophet. I anoint you, Christine, as a prophet under the God of the universe and his son, Jesus, and cleanse you with the blood of Jesus from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet and your whole insides. And, Lord, we ask that you confirm it to her by two or three independent witnesses. In Jesus' mighty name, we enter your council room, Satan. We serve notice on you. No weapon formed against Christine or her husband or her family will prosper. And we're going to take and overtake and take more land like King David did in Ziklag. In Jesus' name. Let me tell everybody again, your website is www.christinemcguire.com. You have Christine Remixed, and your book is Escaping the Cauldron. It will be available in all bookstores on September 4th, but you can pre-order it from Amazon or barnesandnoble.com. And I appreciate you so much, Christine. Are you going to be ministering to people individually as well? If they need to, can they contact you through the website?
Yes, absolutely. I receive emails and phone calls from people all the time.
Wonderful. And what I'd like to do, and maybe you could be a part of it later, I'd like to start doing, God has used me, doing miracles. So I would like to have people write us ahead of time if they need a healing or deliverance or anything in their life, excuse me, that we'd even do it live on the show. So if I may give my email, it's eejudgeeve, two E's in the middle, 79, @gmail.com. Christine, you want to give him your email?
It's very simple. It's info@ChristineMaguire.com.
Okay, so similar to your website, but with the info and ad at the beginning.
It can also be info@BigFishMinistries.com.
Ooh, I like that. You take care of all the little fish.
That's
and
right.
We do have to go, but Christine, thank you from the bottom of my heart for being on the show, for having such a wonderful ministry.
Oh,
and I bless you and your husband and your children that everything you do now will just bring forth a hundredfold fruit back to you.
Thank
you.
Thank
you. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you. Have a blessed day and happy Independence Day. And you're going to give people independence when you speak.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. This has been a blessing.
Thank you, Christine, for me too. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Edenu shalom aleichem. Edenu shalom aleichem. Edenu shalom aleichem. Edenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem. Edenu shalom aleichem. Edenu shalom aleichem. Edenu shalom aleichem. Edenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem. Edenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem.